My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot what I'm fighting for. When the weight of the world keeps you up at night, when you're running with no end in sight, thought you would never find the light you lost inside, that you could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. And today is Friday, April 19th in the year 2024. Amazing how fast this week has gone. I'm on my way back to Oregon. I'm in Champaign, Illinois right now. And I'll be heading out here to Des Moines here in just shortly after the show today. Let me tell you, carrying two puppy Tibetan Mastiffs, that's a whole nother level of travel. Just telling you. I'm staying at Airbnb so we can get some backyard time for them because they are so high energy. And I would love to camp, but they're not quite of that readiness yet. I'd end up probably chasing half the mountainside to get them back if they got off lead. But they're fantastic little dogs, and they're having a great time on the trip. They play hard in the day, unfortunately sleep well during the time, but as would be expected, we gave them a great bath yesterday. They had spent 3 days rolling around in the creek in the mud and being uberly happy. And so we gave them a wonderful bath, even though someone's questioned I would say little is 35 to 40 pounds. So little for a puppy, for a Tibetan Mastiff. So they both needed a bath. We gave them a bath. You would have thought Nika was being murdered by the way that when the water was on her. And we got to this property here last night and the nice backyard. And if there was any possible way they could find mud, you guessed it. It rained and they found the mud piles. And yep, we're going to have to do a little clean off before we jump in the Jeep today. So lots going on. makes my life interesting. Entire morning procedures change, I will tell you. When you think you got everything down, it's like, oh, guess what? Let me give you, someone said, how long did it take them to rub the clean off? It took about, I would say 5 minutes of finding the one mud pile that they could just like dig and roll. And the best part is they have big paws, as you would figure. They're big. They're almost the size of my palm at 13 weeks. They're in their 14th week right now. And the mud is all clay mud. So it's like, I don't know. It's a whole nother level of filthy. So it's going to be, I have to literally account for 20 minutes this morning before we leave just to get them cleaned up enough to get them in the Jeep. Oh my goodness. Kids. That's what they are. And they're funny. They are funny. I had the door open in the Airbnb. I'm really fortunate. This has wood floors and tile. I'm going to tell you, because I didn't realize how bad it was. And I had the back door open and Ezekiel came walking in, and I looked around and I went, what in the world just walked into this Airbnb? So I literally spent an hour this morning cleaning the floors in the Airbnb, because I was like, oh my gosh, these people will never have another animal after me. So it looks good now, but my goodness, what can I say? Puppies will be puppies. They're hilarious, they're fun, and they're fully energized. And they love the outdoors. They are outdoor puppies. Let me tell you, they're not going to be any sort of indoor puppies. The only thing you have to watch out for is because they like to come inside to make sure everything's good. And this is literally their breed. They want to know what's going on so everybody's good. So if you're not paying attention, they'll come inside. They don't care. They're going to tell you and show you just exactly how proud they are of all the mud that they managed to collect. And they're going to share it with you all over the house, which they did last night. It was fantastic. All right, Patriots. It does make for fun travel. I will tell you this, and it is fun travel. A whole other dimension. The back of the Jeep is theirs, and they like their little back of the Jeep kennel. And like I said last night, if Nikki hasn't posted pictures of it, I have got a couple. I'll send them today, so we'll get that up. And we are posting pictures, and we'll be doing more video stories on these little kids. They're something. They make me smile. I'll tell you, nice gift from God. Okay, let's talk about some other things. Before we get going here real quick, make sure that if you've got a 401k, an IRA, anything like that, you need to get it backed by precious metals. That's just the bottom line. We're in a very tenuous point. Wall Street is a Ponzi scheme, and you don't want to be caught in the middle of their Ponzi scheme games as they try to explode the economy, which they're going to do at some point. They just can't help themselves. So what do you need to do? You need to text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. That's BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. That's going to get you connected to Birch Gold, and they're going to send you over exactly what you need, which is an information packet. You can read through that, get all that down, and then get informed and give them a call, and then they will help you. And if you have an existing 401k or IRA, they will transfer it over to a precious metals-backed retirement account at no charge to you. They can also advise you on how to set up one, and they're experts in the markets of precious metals. So really encourage you to reach over and talk to them. Great folks. They've been with us now for about 18 months. They've been doing a fantastic job servicing Birch Nation. I respect them immensely. So do give them a call. See where they can help you out. This is a critical time to get ourselves anchored in precious metals to avoid this nonsense of digital currencies. Even when they're trying to tell you that it's going to be gold-backed digital coins, I don't even know what that is. I mean, what does that mean? Like, I can go in with my cell phone to a bank and I can show them, like, I've got $50,000 in digital currency. I want to have it in gold. I don't think so. But that's what they want to make you believe. So it's all Ponzi schemes. Get yourself anchored in precious metals. Birch Gold is a great place to begin that process. Again, text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. That's BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. And you will not be disappointed whatsoever. Great company. Great folks. Lots of crazy stuff going on in our world, which is not surprising in any level, I will tell you that. And when you just kind of go through the headlines, you're kind of starting to see that things are just not quite working right in the world. Lots of things are starting to falter and come apart. I want you to hear this piece. This is actually the director of federal prisons in Oregon. I would really, you know, the recruitment level of, they don't use IQ as a recruitment level. And these people literally are as incompetent as ever. We have just simply seen an infusion of radicalized thinking, and they have no accountability, and they are not expected to by their jobs. But take a listen to this. This is painful, I guess we call it an interrogation in the Senate.
You're the director of the Bureau of Prisons, is that right?
That's correct, sir.
You used to run the correction system in Oregon, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Oregon legalized drugs, is that right?
That's correct.
Oregon's about to reverse that, is that correct?
Senator, I'm not familiar with the policy proposed to reverse that.
You don't know anything about it?
Correct, sir.
Okay, wow. You're in charge of implementing the First Step Act, Director?
That's correct.
How many criminals have you released under the First Step Act? You don't know off the top of your head?
Sorry, Senator, but I will check into that and get back to you.
You don't know?
That's correct, Senator.
Wow. Of the 30,000 criminals you let free, how many of them have come back? Have committed a crime again, hurt somebody else?
So that number is one that we're still looking at.
You don't have any idea?
No, Senator.
You don't have anybody at the Bureau that can count?
I do not have that number in front of me.
So let me get this straight. The First Step Act was passed in 2018. This is 2024. Am I right so far?
That's correct.
That's 6 years. And in 6 years, you've let 30,000 criminals go, right?
That's correct.
And you don't have the slightest idea how many of them committed another crime and came back?
I don't have that number in front of me.
And you run the Bureau of Prisons?
That's correct.
And how many employees do you have?
About 40,000 employees.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Our director here doesn't know how many have committed another crime and come back? I just find it takes my breath away. With 40,000 people. How many of your 40,000 people are actually coming to work or are still working from home, Director?
The supermajority of our employees come to work every day because we're running 24/7.
What percentage are coming to work every day?
The percentage is quite high. I don't have the exact.
You don't know? Well, maybe there's your problem. This is why people hate government.
This is really typical of what we're dealing with bureaucrats these days, and zero accountability. And it is just absolutely insane. Oregon did repeal the Drug Act. It's interesting, the discussion about that was that the Democrats did not want to repeal any of it. They wanted to keep drugs legal, like they want to keep pedophilia legal. The pressure from the people and the conservatives in the state and the lobbyists, fortunately, was so strong that they ended up giving in to most of the demands. We ended up with about an 85% repeal of what our objectives were in the state, meaning that one of the things they didn't do was to create the class of misdemeanor that they reinstated for drugs is misdemeanor U, and I'm not really familiar with this too much, except that it's the lowest class of misdemeanor. What they wanted to do is get the highest level of misdemeanor fine if you were caught with drugs. Of course, marijuana remains legal, and marijuana is the gateway drug for all these others. So we haven't won the entire war, but remember, what goes on in Oregon, as much as people dismiss it, Oregon is the test bed for the rest of the nation. That's where motor voter rolls came in. That's where mail-in voting came in. This is where they tested it in the market. And this drug policy was intended to roll out across the nation, as was this draconian gun policy that we had put in place there. They test it, they run it, and if they think they can work it out legally, then they push it for the rest of the nation. Fortunately, both the gun ban issue, which was insane, is now been permanently, there's a permanent injunction on it. It will go nowhere. And this repeal of the Drug Act has now been successful to the point of 85% of what we wanted, but not to the full repeal. What we need to do is get rid of the legalization of marijuana. And that is an uphill battle, especially from conservatives alike. And I am really going to say this. Conservatives are probably the ones that irritate me the most on this topic. Because the way the conservatives argue it is this. Jesus used it. And therefore, we need to be able to have it. It's medicinal and it's all these things. There's so much nonsense about the way this is done, because the products that are being sold in for marijuana are not hemp-based, which is where the medicinal side is. it's marijuana based, which is like saying field corn and sweet corn are the same thing, which they are not. And what's happened now with this whole end of the legalized marijuana is everything is being hybridized to produce extremely high levels of THC, which is not what you need. So there's a distortion, and unfortunately, and I'm just going to say it bluntly, most of the conservatives that get behind the argument are not informed enough. I wanted to say something more brutal, but I'll be cautious. And are not informed enough to be able to engage the argument on the difference between hemp and the difference between marijuana. And instead, really what they're arguing is, I want my high, but I'm going to argue it through a religious and health purpose so that I can be protected while I get high. In fact, if you listen, if you interview vets that have taken marijuana, medical marijuana for the purposes of pain, you will hear many of them wanting to get off of it because of the psychotic effects that it creates on them. There's a lot of neurological effects that it creates. It's the intensity of THC is huge. And all of this has been done to ultimately weaken our youth and weaken our society and to open gateways to demons. And I mean this. So this has been one of the best cons ever placed. Medical marijuana when the movement started was fantastic. There was some really legitimate foundations of needing to legalize it for medical purposes. That takes us back to 2017, and when this big movement was going across the nation, and then you had the push behind the scenes of George Soros money that picked it up and said, let's just legalize all of the marijuana. And that's where we ended up, and we're right where we expected, which is cartels growing massive amounts of marijuana and the marijuana growers consolidating and using their profits to leverage policies for the benefit of their growing crops. I am against the legalization of the recreational marijuana because it's the way it's done. It is not, it's allowing too much THC and too much poison into our kids' brains. And they're also showing that one more and more, and someone just added here, Jim Conley said, the CCP is growing it. Yes, they are. So if the CCP is involved, you might as well figure, if cartels and CCP are involved, that should tell you what the real motive is here. And that's just an unfortunate reality. But all of this ends up breaking our youth and weakening everybody. And that's where we end up. One of the things that it's interesting, it takes me back to 2013, 2014. I was asked to do a informational piece for the National Strategic Intelligence Group. And it was based on future threats. And one of these concepts I looked at was we were looking at bipolar and multipolar worlds. Right now, when we came out of the Cold War, we had a monopolar world, meaning the United States was a single superpower in the nation, in the world. We broke into a bipolar world. Previously was with between Russia and the United States. And now we're moving into a multipolar world where you have multiple powers in the world. That is Russia, China, U.S. You're seeing the rise of Iran, Turkey, a few others. One of the things at the center of this was the fight for precious metals, and one in particular was cobalt and coltan, which was being mined in Africa. And the engine behind this war was actually big tech, because big tech is this raw material is used in everything in your cell phones. One of the big lies about this is they've tried to give you the perspective that this is all humanely mined, that there's no child sex labor. This is a complete lie. And in fact, if you trace this back, you'll find out that many of the, like the George Cooney issues, if you remember that, with the child armies that were going on, the cannibal armies that are existing in Libya, all child armies where they're literally being trained to eat the heart out of their enemy or eat the brains out of their enemy. This is not an exaggeration. This is real. These were all driven at one point or another by the takeover of these small cobalt and coltan mines. And all of these were hand-picked, when I say like with a hand-pick mine, digging by hand and human labor, in particular child labor, to extract the ores so that we in the West could enjoy the benefit of our smartphone. And this is the consequence of a consumer-based society that's tech-driven, that wants convenience for everything, decadent in every level, and wants to believe that we're doing everything for the environment safely. This is just part of the ruse of the environmental movement. And really, quite frankly, the environmental movement, every single one of them is criminal because they what they end up embracing, and they don't do the research and they push, whether it's solar panels or batteries, all of these things have extreme disposal costs. I want you to hear this piece. The beginning, I'm setting this up for a very particular reason because there's a visual in this you can't see, but I'm going to lay it out. And it's what it is that there's this valley and it's all just raw earth, clay. And there's literally tens of thousands of people side by side digging in these little pit mines to try to get a little bit of the cobalt. Take a listen to this.
This is so crazy to see.
This is the bottom of the supply chain of your iPhone, of your Tesla, of your Samsung. I mean, I'm just naming those companies.
Right.
It's all of them, right? All of them. We're not just picking on them. And here's what you need to know, Joe, about this video. I was the first outsider to get into this mine. And that's why it's just a really short video that I was able to take. This is an industrial cobalt mine where there's not supposed to be one artisanal miner. Now, that's the term used for people who are just digging by hand, as opposed to tractors and excavators. There's not supposed to be one here. That's what the story is told at the top of the chain. This mine, and I can name it, it's called Shabara. There's not supposed to be one artisanal miner here, according to the consumer-facing tech companies and EV companies buying this cobalt. Lo and behold, I walk into this place, and this is what I see. There's more than 15,000 human beings crammed into that pit.
This is what tech does. It controls the narrative. It exploits like everybody else, but it paints a nice rosy picture because they build big round buildings like Apple. They give you nice office cubicles. Unless you're Google and you have people protesting, then you have all those protesters arrested in your building. These are tyrants. Tyrants that literally put a coat of vanilla cream icing on top of a cake that's made of cow shit. And it's literally what it is in our world. And it gets what is most frustrating is that we're still buying into this entire narrative, and so are people. And at the end of the day, what is the bottom? What's the root of everything? It's always the children. Always the children. And it's just something we can't escape because you're going to get into child sex labor, child sex trafficking, child labor, child physical labor, child sex labor. All these things, these kids get used, and then they're used in child armies. I mean, the whole idea is to corrupt the youth to such a degree that they will never, ever know God or be able to connect with God. That's their hope. And that's why they attack the children so much, because by doing that, they are able to literally create a society that's traumatized and a world that's traumatized, and then will be obedient to the rulers of the world. And worse, and even better, they're almost like on autopilot. All they have to do is trigger them, and then they'll become warlord tyrants and start killing people and perpetuate the same thing. It's a perpetuating cycle that has to be arrested. The question is, how are we going to do it? We continue to promote tech. I mean, I'm when I receive these things, it disgusts me that I'm even using a cell phone. And I know the same stuff is in my computer. It's just, again, the technology world has pushed us into rare earth minerals, which is another war in itself. All of this to attain something green and better, which is a lie to begin with. All of this comes down to stewardship and conservation, which is not at the core of their belief. But their core of their belief is replacement and buy something else. And that's just a consumer version. And really what you're looking at, if you remember, we had TVs that were based on it's the 4:2 format or whatever it is. It's square TVs. And then we went to 16:9, which is the HD format. The primary reason that happened was not because we needed to get rid of our TVs. And it wasn't because we were coming up with some new great technology that was better for us. The whole principle was that the TV market, sales market, had gone flat and was dying. People weren't using it anymore. So they changed the standard, petitioned Congress. Congress changed the standard. And then we went into a whole new level of technology screens, which were flat, used all sorts of new rare earth minerals and other things, gave us a better imprint so we could get more radiation in our lives. And in doing so, revived the entire TV industry, which isn't here, by the way. It's not in the United States. The biggest producer of those happens to be in South Korea. So you can start to understand literally the game that's going on here. And it's always the environmental movement is just it's a cosmetic touch to get people to purchase more stuff we don't need. When you drive along and you see these solar fields, I went by one yesterday, what had been good farmland is now a big solar field. And just looking at it, and it's just a mess. There's nothing that will, they can't grow anything around them other than weeds, and even that's not really growing. And it's and the minute that they get the first hailstorm, which I want to, I think I'm just going to start praying for hailstorms and tornadoes every time I see one of these places, they're ravaged. There is no using them again. This is the renewable technology that they wanted for us so much. It's supposed to save the world. Now, in another bit of news, and I'm again, this is a part of this visual that I'm going to describe before I play it, but Target is now introducing pure satanic clothing for children with pentagrams and even with displays with the horned devil. So we're back to Target again. And the question is, why are we still shopping there? I have no idea. But we are as a society. And this is purely satanic. And I think that people literally think this stuff is cute. This isn't Halloween, by the way. I just want to be clear, because this is happening now. And so these are literally the clothing styles now of the new generation. We are in a satanic cult is what we're living in. And they are trying to anchor this more visually and more permanently in our lives than ever before. Never before has it been so important to speak up and to literally raise the cross in the Bible and to fight back. This is insane.
Am I saying that you shouldn't shop at Target? Well, you decide for yourself what you think about whether you should shop at Target, as they make this type of merchandise for little children. Not just any merchandise, literal satanic merchandise for little kids. We're entering a time of evil at levels that we can't wrap our head around. The kind of wickedness we can't hardly comprehend. But don't worry. The wrath of God is soon to be revealed against all ungodliness and wickedness, against men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. Let's go to the very last page of the Bible. The very last thing Jesus has to say to us concerning these matters. He says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves to practice lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest to these things for the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David, the bright and morning star."
And there we go, just like that. I mean, it's unbelievable that this is happening, but it's literally it's happening because there's nobody stopping them. There's nobody pushing them back against it. They see this and people go, "Oh yeah, well, whatever. Let's keep shopping at Target." We have all the power. It always comes down to the principal issue: stop consuming, stop buying. And if we would stop doing that, these companies would not be able to sustain. Yes, they have a deep inventory and they have huge money behind them, BlackRock and others that are trying to prop them up. It takes a duration of time. And that's the equation of victory here, is literally that people have to be dedicated and never, ever stop. I mean, here's an example. I'm one of these. I remember when the first baseball strike happened. I used to love baseball. I played baseball when I was a kid. And then they had a baseball strike. I don't know. I don't remember how old I was. I was probably in my early teens, 12, 13, 14 area, something like that. But I remember when that baseball strike happened. And I was so disgusted with baseball, I have never gone back to baseball again. Never. Now, I know a bunch of people have because people, it's back thriving again because people love baseball. They don't care. But I did because baseball, that was not the principle of the sport. We have to have a dedication, a righteousness in our commitment to boycott and to stop buying from these places that doesn't end. You don't just like all of a sudden go like Bud Light, like Kid Rock. Like suddenly, you know, we can blow up Bud Light and the next moment we're like, "Ah, they're okay. Don't worry about it because they offered me a whole bunch of money. I can get it off my campaign. I can get it off my shows." I mean, this is nonsense. "Ah, Target's okay. You know, they got the bathroom thing's really not that big a deal. We don't have any pedophiles there anymore. And then they're putting up some satanic stuff for kids. That's all right. I still got to get over here. I got to get some earbuds at their electronic section." I was in Target, like, I don't know, last fall. First time I'd even been in the store for about 2 or 3 years or longer, because I hate that store. I've always disliked Target. Always dislike it. There's just something about it. And I do not shop there. But I had to end up, I didn't shop there. I ended up looking for something there. Fortunately, they didn't have it. And as I went through, I was just asking myself, like, why are people even here? What is this store? And it's, I don't know what the allure is, but people find it there and they just keep going back. It's, oh my gosh, goodness. Target should have been bankrupted the last time they pulled this sort of garbage. So here's a type of disgust that we're dealing with in government, which is just reflective in the corporate world as they push satanic stuff on us. They rape and pillage us in the government. I love this one. The U.S. Air Force is paying $90,000 for a bag of bushings that normally costs well under, this is unbelievable, well under $100.
This, Mr. Secretary, is a bag of bushings. This bag of bushings, stamped out by machinists, don't need a high school diploma. It's not anything high tech about this. All of this bag is compliant with the FAA specifications. How much do you think the Air Force pays for this bag of bushings?
I don't know, Congressman.
$90,000. This is a $90,000 bag of bushings that you need for any jet turbine engine just to operate. So the exorbitant cost due to DOD only buying commercial parts from the OEMs, which is essentially sole source, is literally driving us out of business. I mean, the interest on our debt alone is now exceeding, for the first time in American history, the entire defense budget. We can't afford it anymore.
Well, I'll tell you, that's where we are. I mean, this is the government. We've seen this before, but we've never really paid as much attention to it, and it's just become worse. This is how they make up their money. And let me give you some insight into how this happens, because what ends up happening is that they develop these projects, and they go under some sort of a fixed price, or they have to petition for improvements. This is why there's always, so you're clear, there's always something that goes wrong with a new technology product that comes out of the Department of Defense, because they bid it low to get the contract, and then they know that they can't do it, but they have the contract. So they come up with a variety of ways in which they can elevate the cost. One is like some special bushing, which was unforeseen, and they pad the cost, and they make up for all the places where they were short. They limit their contracts to such a degree that the minute that the Defense Department steps out of that lane, like, by the way, can you add this feature, or did we put this feature in? It's right away, no, we didn't, sir, but we want to add this feature. Okay, well, that's going to cost you, and boom, their profit that they lost comes right back in. It's a game, and it's a whole game to keep out of the public
this,
eye.
This, Mr. Secretary, is a bag of bushings.
What is happening here and what is going on. Now, here's another bit of truth is percolating up, and this comes from January 6th. This is about a 4-minute testimony I want you to hear. This is from one of the National Guard's people, and this is the National Guard captain blows up this J6 narrative, accuses the U.S. government of lying to the American people, which we know they did, but it's pretty powerful. Take a listen.
I'm here today to aid the subcommittee in resolving factual errors in the official record of what happened on January 6, 2021, specifically regarding the alleged District of Columbia National Guard delayed response caused by critical presidentially appointed Senate-confirmed Pentagon senior officials. I was concerned by the events that unfolded that day on the United States Capitol. As a federal officer of the United States Secret Service and a former state trooper with the Florida Highway Patrol, my heart goes out to all law enforcement officers, sisters and brothers that held the line that day to restore public order to the chaos. I'm here today with my counsels, Lachlan McKillen and Dan Meyer of law firm Tully Rigney. The firm has advised me, beginning with my role as a confidential source to the Select Committee to investigate the January 6 attack on the United States Capitol. When my confidentiality was breached, it was Dan who intervened to ensure I was protected as a military whistleblower. First, I want to explain my role on January 6. I was assigned as aide-de-camp, the personal assistant to Major General William Walker, the commanding general of DC National Guard. It was my only second day on the job. Please focus on alleged facts found in the November 16th, 2021 Department of Defense Inspector General's multidisciplinary review into the DC National Guard response and Department of Defense's role that day. I can say unequivocally that the Inspector General's review is riddled with inaccuracies, misstatements, and perhaps false flags and narratives regarding how critical Pentagon senior officials responding when our republic was under great stress. For instance, during a conference call at 2:31 p.m. with members of United States Army, U.S. Capitol Police, Metropolitan Police Department, District of Columbia Government, and U.S. Secret Service Uniform Division, the U.S. Army's Lieutenant General Walter Pyatt, Director of Army Staff, and the Army's Lieutenant General Charles Flynn, Director of Chief of Staff of Operations, were on the call. Also on was Colonel John Lubas, Executive Officer to the Secretary of the Army. The Army falsely denied that General Flynn was ever on the call. This is false and material on its face. Lieutenant Flynn was on the call and even participated in discussions. The Defense Inspector's Review also rounds language, papering over the fact that Lieutenant General Pyatt and Lieutenant General Flynn, while on the call, discussed how they did not like the optics. That is a direct quote. And they stated it would be in their best military advice to recommend to the Secretary of the Army, Ryan McCarthy, to deny the request from Command General William Walker to deploy the DC National Guard and aid U.S. Capitol Police in restoration of order, liberty on Capitol Hill. In addition, former Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy claims he was on a 2:31 p.m. call and spoke on that call. This is false, unless he was in the room shadowing the call and he did not speak nor identify himself. He was not on the call. He was en route to Washington, D.C. regional office at the Federal Bureau of Investigation to support that agency's concept of operations plan for January 6. He went on to claim that he called and spoke to Major General Walker at least twice, ordering the deployment of the D.C. National Guard. This is also false. At no time did General Walker take any calls, nor did we ever hear from the Secretary on any of the ongoing conference calls or the secure video teleconferencing throughout the day. This I know because I was with the Command General the entire time recording events. Throughout the day, Major General Walker told by staff officers to stand by with respect to deploying to the Capitol Hill. Only at 5:09 p.m. in the early evening, which I wrote down in my wheel book, was the D.C. Guard given order to deploy and move to the Capitol to assist Capitol Police. We arrived too late. One American laid dead with other sisters and brothers injured, including federal and local law enforcement officers. We were ready and standing by. I know if we were able to deploy immediately when General Walker made the request, the National Guard could have helped end civil disturbance and restored public order quickly. The Army National Guard motto is always ready, always there. The D.C. National Guard was ready to help and assist Capitol Police, but we were not allowed to do our job due to paralyzed decision-making by acting Secretary of Defense Chris Miller and Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy. This led to federal leadership in the Pentagon. This led to a crisis in federal leadership at the Pentagon and delayed the D.C. response by 3 hours and 19 minutes. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today and articulate the facts as they happened. I look forward to answering any questions you may have.
Really interesting piece he said at the end when he said that it was in part the problem of Chris Miller, who everybody has rallied around to say he was the secret weapon of Trump. Lots of discussion to be had on that testimony as we again unravel the depths of J6. J6 was a coup. It was a coup of the deep state to isolate and try to target all of the Trump supporters and be able to suppress Trump supporters with a fear of being imprisoned and put in jail, incarcerated. And that is what they were very successful at. It has made people very timid to speak out and very weak to speak out. And unfortunately, that has to change. And the only way that's going to change ultimately is for us to get back to the rock of faith. Now, this issue of the deep state is not going to get better because they're continuing to try to expand the surveillance state. All of this is at their motive. I want you to hear this piece that comes out by Greg Reese.
An absolutely indispensable tool that Congress can give us in our fight against foreign adversaries is the reauthorization of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It is critical in securing our nation, and we are in crunch time with our 702 authority set to expire next week. So let me be clear, failure to reauthorize 702 or gutting it with some new kind of warrant requirement would be dangerous and put Americans' lives at risk.
Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was enacted to make it easier for the government to address foreign terrorist threats. Targeting Americans is prohibited, but intelligence agencies have used Section 702 to spy on hundreds of thousands of Americans every year. and this week it's looking to get a lot worse. Elizabeth Goitein of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice does a great job of explaining it and sounding the alarm. Buried in the Section 702 reauthorization bill passed by the House on Friday is the biggest expansion of domestic surveillance since the Patriot Act. Under current law, the government can compel electronic communication service providers that have direct access to communications to assist the NSA in conducting Section 702 surveillance. Companies like Verizon and Google must turn over the communications of targets, which officially must be foreigners overseas, but this has been abused to spy on Americans. By changing the definition of electronic communications surveillance provider, an amendment offered by House Intel Committee leaders and passed by the House vastly expands the universe of entities that can be compelled to assist the NSA. If the bill becomes law, any company or individual that provides any service whatsoever may be forced to assist in NSA surveillance, as long as they have access to equipment on which communications are transmitted or stored. When the amendment was first unveiled, civil liberties advocates noted that the provision would encompass hotels, libraries, and coffee shops, and so they were excluded. But the vast majority of U.S. businesses remain fair game, including barbershops, laundromats, fitness centers, hardware stores, and any small business that provides Wi-Fi to their customers via routers. It also includes commercial landlords that rent out offices, which would target journalists, lawyers, financial advisors, healthcare providers, and anyone renting commercial office space. The amendment even includes service providers who come into our homes, such as house cleaners, plumbers, and IT service providers, all of whom could be forced to serve as surrogate spies and be required to give the NSA direct access. And none of them would be allowed to tell anyone. They would be under a gag order and would face heavy penalties if they failed to comply. Having wholesale access to domestic communications, the NSA would then be on the honor system to retain only the communications of approved foreign targets. And we know from past experience that they cannot be trusted to do this. The Senate is scheduled to vote on the bill this week. Section 702 expires on April 19th, but the Biden administration has obtained FISA court approval to continue Section 702 surveillance until April of 2025. Call your senators now and tell them to block the Everyone is a Spy surveillance bill. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
So there you go, Greg Reese. It's one of these things that we're dealing with again is the state begins to collapse and we see the implosion of all the various systems. Things aren't working. The people are becoming awake, aware of the big ruse and con that's been put above everybody. We literally are witnessing the collapse on one level and the desperate attempt to retain power by the expansion of surveillance powers to make this a greater prison state than it already is. This is the real. This is the world that we're in, and it's one that we have to continue to be vigilant against and absolutely not let it happen. And you notice while all this is happening, somehow we still don't even have the Epstein logs. This is a system that is designed to protect itself. And at the end of the day, they'll do everything to prevent people from seeing the truth, which the truth of all things ends up being kids. The trafficking and exploitation, sexual manipulation, destruction, ritual sacrifice, anything you want to list under those categories of children. And that's babies to teens. And this is where the core of this engine runs. This is what keeps, and I've said this for years, this is what keeps Wall Street propped up. It's what keeps the international banking community in power. It's what keeps politicians obedient. It's what keeps corporate boardrooms obedient. It's always the same thing. And it's the kids. And that's the ultimate fight that we have to win. And we have to overcome these fools and expose it all to the truth so people start to realize it. Because once people come to that realization, there is literally no place these people can hide. There will be no stopping the wrath of the hand of man once they start to realize that they were all part and complicit in a crime or made to be because the elites wanted to have their joy in destroying kids. That's how disgusting our world is, and it's what we have to get rid of, is the rotten seed to reset this world in a proper way on the foundations of God. So, patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you today for this blessed time that we have and we share. And on this day of travel, just to pray for continued easy trip and safe travels. And we just pray for all those out here right now that are sitting in a place of wondering where and what to do. We just pray that the motivation and understanding of the commitment to speak the words of the gospel become paramount in everything they do, to bring as many people to Christ, to evangelize in the sense of awakening people to the importance of walking in the way Christ walked, to lift us up as a nation, but we do that one person at a time, county by county, county by county. So, Father, we just pray into that, pray into the heart of the warrior Christ to lift people up, to have the courage to speak truth to power. Speak truth to power and not be demoralized. Demoralization is one of the biggest things we face right now, and it's one that we have to disconnect from and start realizing that we have all the power and all the authority always through him. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Patriots, I'm going to dig into that some tonight on the effects of it as we watch things unravel and truth comes forward. The counterswing to this is the demoralization of society, and it's a really dangerous edge we're walking on right now, where people become so disgusted at what they see, they become disconnected so completely that they no longer want to participate in a system that will continue to prop itself up by manipulation. So it's a challenge we face as a nation. As all these things that we come together, we look at and we have to ask ourselves continually, where is that root of change? And we know where it begins, and it's our prayer. So keep your prayers up. Be vigilant about your prayers and praying for this nation and praying for a repenting nation. And in so doing, to bring this nation back to the foot of the throne. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I will see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man. And man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light. It can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.